Time's up. Let's do this.
We're in for a wild night.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to episode 159 of Born to be Wild, a wild exclusive Hearthstone podcast where we have fun hanging out with friends, talking about the wild format of Hearthstone and spotlighting members of the wild community. I'm your host, Nate Wolf. It is great to be back on a beautiful Friday evening here, joining from Orange County, California, with three of my favorite people. We have a lot to talk about tonight, and I promise that if we start going around in circles too much or going down too many rabbit holes, that somebody will, like, kick my shin under the table across the internet. So hopefully we can get through it all tonight without having a 12-hour episode. But anyways, hello friends, welcome, welcome, welcome. Let me say hello first to Shmoopy Daddy. Welcome back, dude. How's it going?
Going good.
You shaved your beard off.
Where'd it go?
I'm more aerodynamic now. It is starting to drive me nuts.
You got that sick fade. It's just on your face.
It's just on my face. I'm going to do my best to not explore any rabbit holes this episode, or at least keep them to a minimum. So I will keep my spelunking to a minimum.
We'll have time for that, I promise. Hydralisk, welcome back. How's it going, man?
It's doing great. How's it going, everybody? Coming Yay. At you from the greater Vancouver area. Doing great. Stoked to be here. Stoked for the show, guys.
Nice, nice. Sheep, welcome back. How's it going?
Meowdy friends, coming at you from the Denver Boulder area, kind of like halfway between the two. And it like rained this morning. It's been like beautiful all day since. Love it.
Perfect.
Nice.
So is your face. So for those of you joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. Let me briefly explain how this show works. We record this podcast live every Friday evening at twitch.tv/borntobewildhearthstone, twitch.tv/borntobewildhs. And the video version of this podcast is then posted to YouTube shortly thereafter. Audio versions are also distributed to all of the podcast apps. So however you are watching, listening, or absorbing via osmosis this podcast today, thank you. Yes.
You. All right. Hey, thank you everybody for being here. We appreciate it. A big special shout out to those of you joining us live on Twitch. It's always cool to be interacting with you all. Sorry if you can hear my kid yelling in the background. It's the like the first official day of summer break, and he's all amped
Freedom!
Up and pretty much that's like from Braveheart. Freedom. Anyways, big thank you to Shakunin, the executive producer of our show, and to Armorn and our other patrons who really appreciate your support. If you are interested in supporting our show, we do have some ways that you can do that for free. If you want to like, comment, subscribe to our stuff on YouTube, or give us a review on any of the podcast apps, it really helps. If you are somebody who uses Twitch a lot, we do have emotes that you can unlock for free by following the show, or a couple other exclusive ones that you can get by subscribing, which is also free if you use your Amazon Prime. A couple other things, we do have some merch that's available on our website, which is borntobewildhs.com. Typically, we all wear the stuff. I'm not today because I'm still dressed in what I wore to work. But yeah, we got some cool shirts and stuff, and hats and whatever else you want. Stickers, I think. So yeah. Finally, if you're interested in hanging out with any of us, we do have a Discord channel. The link to that is, again, on our website. We'll post it in chat here as well. But it's a really fun online community, friends that we've made all across the whole world. We share deck lists. We share news, pack openings, you know, kind of everything under the sun. But my favorite part of the show, we get to dedicate this week's episode to our silly usernames of the past. Week, I almost read that one wrong. Big pink clock. Clock. Yes. Yes. That tells time. Yes. This episode goes out to you. Also, Pavel. Hot sauce. Whatever, priest. nudist colony paladin. Roobody ninja. Copper money. Chicken fried warlock.
What?
Cool name too. Satan on LSD. Wow. Okay.
Was that escalated quickly. Chicken fried warlock? Is that like braised chicken drumsticks? All
uppers 420. Wow. Nut shaman and tenacious P. That's pretty funny. And
I don't think you pronounced uppers right, but that's okay. We'll move on.
Maybe it's, well, yeah, I don't know.
You can't pronounce it properly, so we'll move on.
And finally, this episode is dedicated to Karen, the druid. Oh gosh.
Karen, yeah, would be a druid.
Right?
In this meta? Absolutely.
Yes. Anyhow. So yeah, it's been a week. My week has been very busy, not unlike last week. It's kind of just been work. Zug, zug. Yeah, everything's been super crazy. And I was telling these guys, over the past couple of days, like I'm a little kind of disengaged with the game a little bit. I'm excited to hear what you all have to say about it. But I've been sort of like struggling with engagement lately, 'cause I've been like super busy and stressed and spending my free time doing other stuff. So I'm like super excited to hang out with everyone, but like I am a little checked out in the Hearthstone department. So I'm happy to hear what everyone else has been up to. And I'm just going to pass the mic over, because Sheep in particular had a super awesome week and I want to spotlight that. So
yeah,
off to you.
A fantastic week this week. So last week I was talking about how I got so close in the Heroic Brawlyceum. I continued grinding that thing and I got there. I got the 12 wins.
Wah! Yes!
Which actually included like some cards that I didn't have gold for, signature or diamond.
Golden, and of course, legendary.
50 packs, 1,090 dust, 1,090 gold.
Holy cow. And most
importantly,
that's awesome.
The chicken dinner.
Yeah. That feels good. Welcome to the exclusive club. I think very few people probably have that. I mean, I know the streamers were like grinding super hard for it. This has got to be probably the most exclusive portrait in the game, right? Because that was hard to get.
100%. And it was not a cheap one to get either.
Oh, gosh.
Gold. I used the gold.
How many runs did you end up doing?
So I don't know for sure, because I just kind of like lost track.
Lost count after 15. Oh gosh, yeah, don't say. But I'm very proud of you. Like what an amazing thing. Like I saw that and I was like, yeah, no.
So part of it though is that like, and part of the reason why I lost track is every time I had multiple like 9, 10, 11 win runs. Every time I had one of those, I got like 500 ish gold. So like if I was just tracking, you know, monies, it'd be easy to do, but like at least half, if not more of them, probably more, were done just with gold. So like it's harder to track where is it? Like, I wish that they would never do this, but I wish that they would have let us use the like arena or duel, like heroic duels.
Oh, the tickets.
Those tickets. I wish they would have let us use those tickets, because then it would have been like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Free, but
yeah,
I think they should. I totally think they should give everyone like one free run, like just to do it, right? To like entice you in. But
yeah. Well, and this time they had the play three and you get the one portrait, which I feel like that's worth 1,000 gold. Mm-hmm, in mm-hmm. and of itself, right? So I feel like as long as they do that, not having it be like giving you a free run, like even if you just go 0-3, you get a portrait. I feel like that's worth your money and or gold, right? The plan was for it to be three wins, but since it said play three game instead,
like they just let it
games. I said game.
Yeah, like it was written on the quest, game. Play three game.
So as long as it says that, like I don't really have too big of a problem with them like not giving us a free one, because like even if you go in three, you're paying in gold or monies for that portrait, right? Like, cool. Obviously I agree. I would rather that they do give us a free one, because like everyone would do it. That, I mean, that's good for like the meta to have like people to populate it with.
Right. Otherwise you're just playing the same handful of people like all week.
Yeah.
There are a number of times whenever in a single run, I would run into the same person twice and I'm like, okay, let me pull up my replay real quick. See which Death Knight this was.
Right.
Yeah. Is this a blood? Is this a frost? It only once was it ever an unholy. So like I wasn't really worried about that one, but especially with the paladin that I hit it with, and that I did most of my runs with, the play pattern and mulligan is very different for blood decay as it is to frost decay. You always keep boogie down, but other than that, it was very different. So whenever I ran into the same Death Knight twice in a run, I pulled that replay up super quick to see what it was, and it helped.
Nice.
That's so, so cool. Yeah.
Like, those rewards are so good for the 12 wins. 3 golden legendaries, 50 packs, like 1,100 dust and gold, basically. Like, that's awesome. Well, congratulations.
Yeah. So, what are you doing with the pack? Because, are you just going to wait for the mini set? Like,
so, I waited for the mini set. I opened them all then. So I got the mini set without like spending any additional gold or monies. I am saving up my gold currently to get the golden mini set.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saving my gold back up. I'm over like 30% of the way there already.
How much gold is it?
10,000 gold.
Okay.
So basically like you can pay real monies and pay $70 USD, or you can save up $100 worth of gold and pay for it that way. The reason why I'm saving up for the golden version is you get a diamond card with that. So even though I have all the cards, some of them in gold, some of them not, the only way to get that diamond card is by buying, quote unquote, I'm going to do it with gold.
Yeah.
The golden version.
Nice.
What card did make diamond in the mini set?
It was the 5 mana, 5/5 draw 5.
Oh, that's a good one to get. Okay.
Yeah. Right, I thought it was going to be Elite Tauren Champion, but
I did too.
It was not.
I kept thinking like Elite Tauren Champion would have such a good animation in the diamond, right? Because like you'd be shredding on the guitar, it'd be so cool. But whatever, I guess that's the golden one, right? It is one of the goldens.
Oh yeah.
Well, I guess they're all golden if you get the golden set. Never mind.
Yeah, they all have golden versions, but we also had the diamond version of ETC from the set proper.
Right. Right.
So. I think that's why they made a different card, the diamond one from this one. And honestly, that's the better legendary between the two anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to complain.
They didn't want to make a diamond time bomb in your hand, I think. Like, how to figure that one out. It's like, no.
Annoying. Yeah.
Especially because that card is not very good.
Yeah.
I like it. It's just, yeah.
It's a tier fun.
You're allowed to like it.
But I like it in Curse Lock. I was playing it in Curse Lock and I was enjoying it. So.
Ooh.
I mean, I used to play Illidan in Quest Rogue just because I wanted my little flames to become 5/5s because it was my only golden legendary. It wasn't good. I liked it, but it wasn't good.
Not all cards are supposed to be good. So also this past week on May 31st, I hit Legend in Wild.
Nice.
So the very last day, I was like, you know, playing a lot of the heroic Brawliseum. I was, you know, playing a lot of this, that, and the other. I mean, Questline Druid, Kingsbane Rogue aren't really my thing. So I was trying to play a couple of different things in Wild, and most of them just weren't working for me. So finally I was like, okay, I'll just like drop in Even Shaman and just like finish it off. And you know what?
Welcome to the Drooler Club.
Right?
I was going to say that screenshot.
Well drooled, my friend. Well drooled.
I see some totems in that screenshot.
You sure do.
Hey, you know, the deck is good. The deck is good. We don't deck shame. That's great. I'm happy that you got it though. I mean,
I did it with Big Priest. People shamed me on.
Yeah,
they sure did.
Good.
So since then I've been playing a mix of standard and wild, playing some aggro druid in our format of wild, playing around with the new cards. They're not great. but they're fun. I haven't been playing Priest in our format, so hence why I've been playing with cards that are the new cards that are not great. And then in Standard, I've mostly been playing Paladin because, like, I've played so much of that deck lately. I know it backwards and forwards, and I think globally on PC, it's like you have a 70-something percent win rate with that deck, and most of those are the Heroic Brawlyseum.
Hilarious. So,
that's been my week. It's been a blast, filled with some pretty big milestones. In particular, one from my Hearthstone bucket list is hitting that 12-win Heroic Brawlyseum.
Yeah, that's super cool, though. I'm really excited for you on that one. Well done.
Much obliged, sir. Shmoopy, how's your week been, bud?
Dude, my week was awesome. So just like from a professional standpoint, my district doesn't use a lot of snow days this year. And when it does that, it packs it on to Memorial Day break. So I had Tuesday off as well as Monday.
Oh, nice. So, wow.
Nice.
So very Tuesday nice. Was like my wife goes to work, my son goes to school, and I'm hanging out with my daughter. My Wednesday was senior skip day, where it's not an official holiday listed in the calendar of the school. It's more of a civil disobedience act where
it's a tradition.
The seniors organize themselves and decide they're just not coming into school. They're going to go to the beach instead. So they did that, and I showed Mythbusters. And so then Thursday came around, and Thursday was the first of the month. And you might be wondering, well, Shmoopy, that must have been busy. You had class, right? No, I didn't have class. I had one proctoring assignment, and it was an hour and 15 minutes. We have some rather large, extensive tests here in New York. But the way this was broken up is there was only one that day, so the entire staff was recruited to proctor it, so I only had a shift of it.
The rest of the day you got paid to play Hearthstone?
So I
do have one question about your monologue thus far, and that is,
sure,
what episode of Mythbusters did you show?
Oh, it was different each period. I had kids pick it out. So there was like Thermite versus Ice. We might have done Shooting Fish in a Barrel, the Idioms one. I have a couple that I like that I highlight that go along with specific units in my curriculum. So it's not untoward that I show Mythbusters in class, mm-hmm. especially for like the kind of elective level. Like, these are kids that are probably not going to go on to be physicists kind of class. It's like these are the kids that are probably not going to go on to ever take a science class ever again kind of kids. So I'm you know, vacillating between doing, you know, math stuff and like engaging activities and like, you know, the occasional Friday Mythbuster. So this was like not out of the blue or not out of like the ordinary that I would do something like this. Yeah. But my proctoring assignment didn't start till 9:15, and I have to report the building by 7:10. And I had all my work done. So, well, I walked into my proctoring assignment in Diamond 5. And then, I got to Diamond 5. Yeah, and I woke up at 5:50. So I got to Diamond 5 using Even Shaman. I went 18-4. Mostly that was cleaning up like 10x. Jank. I very specifically got 10x this month because I wanted a very specific play pattern for my climb. And I just, even if I see a mirror, I didn't see a mirror for like my first 30 games, literally my first 30 games. And by mirror, I mean, I didn't see an Even Shaman because I never played an Even Shaman mirror. I was just like slapping weird. People were breaking out all the stops. I saw more Secret Mage than anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Though it was a pretty varied field. I think people were trying to play new cards, and I think Secret Mage got the most obvious new card. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk about a different card, I think, tonight, because another card is more impactful.
Oh, yeah.
And then post-Diamond 5, I'm like, okay, I am probably going to be swimming in an aggro sea. So I don't know if you know, the listeners remember, if you guys remember that Control Paladin that I said I was having a ton of fun with, that I got a neon tweet early last month.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, it is time for this sucker to shine. I think this thing dumpsters aggro. I think I can play this to legend. I think it loses to anything that is particularly slow and greedy. It loses to combo, but gosh darn it, does it smash aggro. It is basically hipster odd warrior. So I queue up my hipster odd warrior, and I go 18 and 7, and I punch it in the day one.
Nice.
And get in at rank 35.
Nice, nice, nice.
Like a boss.
And this arguably isn't even the highlight of my Hearthstone week, because in my Hearthstone week, I got to meet Ridiculous Hat last Saturday, which was
last
really
Hatterday.
Really cool. Last Hatterday, we schlepped our way down to I think it was Queens. Shumpy, Mommy, and I on a train and a subway and whatnot. And so we had some brews. We hung out with Hat. We got otters to Diamond 4, which was a miracle. and it was just very funny because he's very funny and very personable to talk to in person. You know, you listen to him on the podcast, and obviously, you know, he's very witty and very thoughtful. But just in person, it doesn't change. Like in person, he's the same dude. Cool. So it was really nice meeting him. Shmoopy Mommy talked his ear off about Taylor Swift stuff because he's a closet Swifty.
Oh, that's great.
That was pretty much that visit. And then the only other thing I think that was really remarkable for my Hearthstone week was, I think I told you guys, I had dumpstered myself pretty decently, sort of getting ready to go achievement hunting. And I accidentally fell upon one of the most fun I've had in Hearthstone in a long time. Trying to like chase this Pyrotechnician. So Pyrotechnician is this new card where you have to, every time you play a spell, it creates a fire spell. And the achievement said you have to play 100 of the fire spells that it produces. So you think, oh my gosh. Well, not in one match, thank goodness. That's more than two. And so it looks like it's going to be this long, arduous grind, right? Like one of the more grindy ones. And I was trying to do it in Quest Mage, and I'm like, this is not super efficient. I have hand space issues. Let me try it in Druid. Let me do like an OG ramp Druid, Twig Sphere, Guff, a million mana, a couple Yogs, and let's roll with it. And let me tell you, it is some of the most fun you can have in Hearthstone with your pants on. It was hysterical what I was able to pull off. And I even learned that the newly nerfed Twig still has a purpose. Because it now reads, refresh your mana crystals. I didn't think much of that until I had 18 mana, and then I broke it, and I refreshed 18 mana.
Oh, gross.
And I'm like, oh.
It doesn't say refresh 10 mana crystals. It says your mana crystals.
Your mana crystals.
So you had 36 mana that turn.
Oh yeah, God. Which led to some pretty ridiculous swing turns and led to a lot of playing of, again, Pyrotechnician on the board. Most of the spells that fire produces are actually board clears. So it actually kind of worked in the deck because you needed defensive tools, but also you also had the floop token turns, and I was just like, you make burn. I have a couple screenshots of somebody at 19 health, and I randomly produced two pyroblasts. So it's just pull face, pull face, GG's.
Wow.
So that was a lot of fun. So I've had a really, really good week in Hearthstone personally, and it was a good week too. But just Hearthstone, if we're keeping it to Hearthstone, it was awesome.
So was your face.
Hydra, how was your week, man?
Good. Hearthstone wise, I was, in the waiting room for ladder reset. I had climbed a little bit in legend. I got a couple hundred more ranks as, rank decays naturally. So I wanted to gain those back, which I did. That was fun. But at the same time, I played so many questline druids that I was like, I'm not having fun. I was winning, but I still wasn't having fun because I was playing against so many questline druids. And there's a lot of secret mage. That wasn't that fun either. And so I've just been waiting for the ladder reset. And then a coworker of mine had mentioned that Diablo 4 doesn't actually come out on June 2nd in NA. That's a global kind of time release is June 2nd. And so it's in EU and Asia, it's June 2nd. Here in NA, it actually comes out at 4 p.m. on Thursday, which is yesterday. And I was like, oh. So it's like day one of the ladder reset. I was like, I'm just going to play Hearthstone. I want to try to pull a Shmoopy Daddy, you know, like see if we can get legend day one. Now, sorry, I didn't play Hearthstone yesterday. I played Diablo 4. I was so stoked.
How was it? I didn't play any of the beta. Was it cool? Of course it was cool.
Yeah, like right now, for the first night, I was basically repeating what I'd done in beta. Because in beta, you were allowed to play through all of Act 1.
Okay.
And so that's what I was doing last night. I was playing Act 1 and working on my character, my build, and stuff like that. And it's great. And some of the glitchiness that I saw before wasn't there. They ironed out a bunch of stuff. And I'm pretty stoked. And so far, they are keeping true to what they said. I looked in the store because they do have a shop, right? And they have something similar to Runestones, right?
Oh, boy.
But
they're called Bloodstones.
Cosmetic only, right? So the game is not pay to win. It's not like Diablo Immortal, which was a free-to-play game where you can buy those crests, right? And then you can guarantee legendary drops every time you go run rifts. It's cosmetic only for if you want to pay. And I feel zero obligation to do that. Because for me, in like Diablo 2, it was all about like, hey, I found this gear. It's super cool. You can show off the thing that you have, like that you earn. Like, and if
it was randomly generated, right? Like I remember hearing like some people like selling their stuff because it's just like, wow, look at this crazy OP thing that like I randomly generated.
Oh, like, yeah, back in like Diablo 2. Yeah.
Diablo 2. Yeah.
Yeah. On J2P.com, it was like a big trading website that people traded and sold stuff. So like if you found something that you didn't need or whatever, you could throw it on there and vice versa. Sort of thing. But yes, I had a blast last night. I am probably gonna play Diablo 4 all weekend.
it's probably
what I'm gonna do. I gotta make sure I complete all my dailies. I don't want to lose any quests on Hearthstone, but I will have to hit legend a little later in the month because I'm gonna be playing this weekend D4, which is sweet because I'm such a Diablo 2 fan. I played it back when it was originally released. I played it a lot. I played it probably just as much as I played Hearthstone, which is a lot.
I've played it. Yeah. I mean, I played Diablo and the Diablo expansion and D2 and D3. So like, there's no way that I could pass up D4, especially if it's supposed to be better than the others. I just want, like, I felt like the story in D3 was very like mediocre. The game was beautiful, but the storyline was kind of boring.
Yeah, I wasn't the biggest D3 fan either. I actually would just play D2 instead, is what I did.
No lies. Hydra, whenever you said that you were queuing up D4 the other day, I thought that you were saying that you were at Diamond 4. Chicken egg that it was Diablo 4.
That's so funny. Yeah. No. And so for ladder in Hearthstone, I had already hit like legend at the end of the very beginning of the month, right? Mm-hmm. So I didn't need to do that. I did not hit Legend and Classic. I did it once, whatever. I wanted to keep it. Like once you get the 10-star bonus, so you kind of want to keep it, right? But I tried. I got up to Diamond 7, and then I was like, meh. I just stopped.
Dude, especially in Classic, because whenever like you still have a star multiplier, they're like queuing you up against real people. It's only when you lose the star multiplier that you're playing.
It's again. Cheating.
And the bots were gone. There was no more bots. There was no more bots.
It's only when you get to D5, not Diablo 5, that you actually start queuing into bots again. It's wild. I mean, it's Classic.
I figured maybe when I get to Diamond 5 that would happen, but I didn't get to Diamond 5. It was so fun. My win rate was so atrocious. I was like straight 50-50. For I don't know how many games that I played, and I still had a 2-star bonus because I was at 10x and I was climbing so slowly from D10 to D5. It was, yeah, I don't know, I wasn't having fun, so I didn't do the thing because the thing wasn't fun.
Yep,
and don't do the thing,
simple as that. But that's basically my week. I was waiting for ladder reset, then I found out that Diablo 4 was going to be released the same day.
Oh, I want to play it so bad.
That's what I will be doing tonight, and tomorrow, and the next day.
I don't know that I want to pay like the extra money to get it early, but if I don't, then I'm not going to be able to play it like until next weekend, probably
Tuesday. Well, for us, for you, it would be Monday evening, I believe, is when you could play. Or if you want to give the money, you could play now. But like, I see the early release kind of like is twofold. Blizzard makes a lot of money, point one, right? Because a lot of people want to play it early. They want to play it on the weekend. If you can play it on Friday nights, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and then Monday, like that's way funner than like queuing it up on a Tuesday, right?
Right? They're so evil for like, releasing a game on a Tuesday. Like,
yeah,
it is Diablo, so of course it's going to be evil.
It's a Hearthstone expansion.
So you can do that. You can pay the like in Canada money, you know, our Monopoly money up here, it's $30 if you want to play early. Or you can not. Like, you can wait. But the second half of that is it staggers the release. So, like, servers aren't swamped like they would be, right? Because not everyone's going to fork out the extra cash to play early. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of neat that suddenly it's not like, bam, here's 10 million people playing your game instantly. It's like, you know, it's split. So I thought it was kind of cool. Kind of nice.
Split. I didn't know that this was Born to be Cosmo.
Good one. But yeah, that's basically my week in a nutshell.
Ba-dum-ts. All right, well,
welcome to the news. The news is so good.
Yeah, it is.
Speaking of buying stuff. All right.
There are some new bundles in the shop. So, of course, there are the ranked standard bundles. Our buddy NHL NJFan1 has gotten all of them offered. So we know at the very least what he has seen. And those are the bronze for $10, 17 standard packs, silver $20, 25 packs and a legendary. Gold $30, 52 standard packs. Here's where they start getting tempting. Platinum $40 and 20 standard packs, 10 golden standard packs and a golden legendary. And diamond $50, 20 golden standard packs and 10 standard packs.
What?
Yeah, there have been some alternate kind of A/B testing, we presume, bundle offerings. One of those that we've seen is that the silver bundle, still $20, but instead of 25 packs and a random legendary, 10 packs and a signature legendary.
That's a
lot more tempting.
That's a super good value, actually. Yeah, because the signature pull rate is so low. Like, that's really good.
Mm-hmm. I hit, like, gold in standard today. Specifically for this offer. I'm hoping I get it queued because this looks really good. I actually don't even hate like some of the minor like, oh, well, here's a, you know, a decent price for a bunch of random standard packs. Cause I plan on not buying any, I plan on not buying any bundles for the expansion, next expansion. I have enough dust. I could craft it. But anything I pack, I don't have to craft, so that's dust I could save. So
right.
Like those are decent value to just even like just load up if I wanted to. So like, but this is like, we like the cosmetic, and especially this expansion has kind of saved the signatures, right? Like
the signatures are good this time. Yeah,
looks so much better, and even some of the old ones are growing on me more. I think because even though they're still tough to see, I can tell the differences between the blobs, and some of the blobs are more recognizable than other blobs. So this got me off my butt. This worked. This got me off my butt, and I'm like, all right.
Last time they did this, I hit standard legend just because I wanted the bundle. It was like I wanted the gold cards, and it was such a good deal, like value wise. I was like, all right, I'm gonna do it because I want that bundle. Like, and it. I mean, it did the trick. It's that I needed that carrot, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. The I really like all the signature cards, but I also have them. So the silver bundle is like, I'm probably going to hit legend and standard anyway. Just cause I like playing the game. So I'll get there. But this would be super tempting for me if I didn't have all the signature cards. Cause like they're all incredible.
Yeah. They're super
bundles. Good too. Right. I'm sorry, Nate.
Yeah, no, it is. They're the value of these. They're all, I mean, if you need the cards, what I like about them is that they're standard packs, right? So like you don't have to open them right now. If you have the cards, you can save them for the next expansion or whatever.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, also in the news, Tavern Brawl wise, well, even though you can't play the the heroic brawl, we have a special returning brawl, Diablo themed, the Dark Wanderer. So on June 7th and June 14th, they're bringing back a special Diablo-themed Tavern Brawl face-off against the mysterious Dark Wanderer in this epic boss battle where progression is saved after a loss and the stakes are raised every fight. Huh. So the first time that you end up defeating Diablo, you will earn the special Lilith card back. And if you've played so Diablo cool. 4, you'll know who Lilith is, but if you don't, you can watch the trailer and figure it out that way.
Card back.
Yeah,
right?
No, it's is incredible.
It's super sick, and it's kind of strange to me that you can buy it for gold for like 600 gold, but like I don't know why you would buy it for gold when like right now when you could just wait for the Tavern Brawl. Like if you really want it, you could spend your 600 gold on it now.
It's bad,
but no, rich. I would not recommend that unless you like
really don't want to play the Tavern Brawl for some reason.
Yeah, like aww. So afraid of Tavern Brawl. Maybe it'll be too scary for you.
I play the Tavern Brawl every week just to like get a standard pack.
Right.
This much better than a standard pack.
It's just pre-programmed in so people that miss it can get it later, yeah. I think, which is great actually.
Oh, that's good. If that's the case, because the original Diablo card back that they released when Resurrected came out was so cool because it had like your health vial.
The life meter.
It's so neat. And eventually if you missed that, they put it in the game so you could purchase the card backs later, right? But if you missed that one, like you were screwed. And so I always liked running that one because that one was so cool, right? And it's kind of like, hey, look, I did this at that time. But now you can buy it. So whatever. That's cool for people that miss it, though. I remember being a little like skeptical of when they started letting you buy stuff for gold. But I get it. I get it. There's no more bragging that you got the pumpkin one like originally. But it's cool for everybody to have the cool cosmetic that not everybody else has.
You can it was still exclusive go earn yourself... for a while there, for at least a year, yeah. I think. So.
Oh, yeah.
The Diablo one. And it's neat that everyone can get all the stuff. So it's cool that they put it in for gold as well. But I'm stoked. This card back is awesome. I'll definitely be rocking it.
Yeah, it's a nice one.
All right, what else do we got here?
Well, I think it was Imic, right? Data mined. There's some new diamond cards in the game. So in your collection manager, you can see them, but they don't have animations and stuff yet. But we got a sneak peek at the upcoming diamond cards. So Shudderwalk, Ziliax, and Archmage Vargoth. So that's super cool. I picked good ones, right?
Ones. Yeah, solid.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Way to encourage the Shudderwalk players.
Rude.
They don't need any encouragement. They're already playing it anyway.
Right.
Spoiler, they never actually get to cast Shudderwalk because they just win the game on the Murloc swing turn. So.
Yep. Ain't that the truth?
And I heard Zeph is in Diamond now. Is that right?
Yeah.
Zeph is in Diamond. It's cool.
You just get it when you log in. Got that the other day as soon as the update came in. And I didn't know it was happening. And so I'm like, what do? How do I get this cool thing? Sweet.
and Zeph, I don't know how you can get him to actually offer it in game, but in the Diamond animation, he's giving you Boulder Fist Ogre. I really want to find a way to get Zephyrus to offer me Boulder Fist Ogre. Because it's truly the best stats for the cost.
He gives you three choices. It's Tyrion, Fireball, Boulder Fist Ogre, and the animation has you pick Boulder Fist Ogre every single time. It's hysterical.
Oh yeah,
It's awesome.
I mean, really, why would you ever pick anything else?
Truly.
It doesn't show Temple Enforcer. Like that's false advertising.
Temple Enforcer. Oh my god. Temple Enforcer right now is on a hotline to like talk about relationship statuses and stuff like that. Like they're having second thoughts. The wedding was all planned out. Like, you know, the engagement party's been paid for, and you know, the caterer is not getting you your refund. There's some sunken costs here, like both financially and emotionally. Temple Enforcer is definitely going to be, ringing somebody up.
That's funny. All right. Well, the mini set is out. Funnel cake.
Get your funnel cakes here. So the mini set is out. Of course, we read the spiel before about Audio Apocalypse, but it's in game. And the one card, the aforementioned funnel cake, is taking the meta by storm. Shmoopy Daddy, tell me a little bit about this card.
Sure.
Funnel cake.
And I funnel honestly cake. Like when we were previewing the show, I was just like, you know what? I don't actually remember what the card's name is. Like, I couldn't remember the name of the card. I'm like, I don't know, cake one.
You want to buy funnel cake?
Okay, I'm done.
That's a lie. It reads,
restore 3 health to a minion and its neighbors. For each one overhealed, refresh a mana crystal. What could possibly go wrong? This was actually teased in a tweet, randomly, and it was up only for a couple minutes. Somebody clipped it. And it was just like, all right, well, this is a possible mini set card. And people were like, oh my gosh, this is really broken. And it's a dual class card that is shared by both Priest and Druid. And while the mini set's been kind of fun, and I've gotten to play some mini set cards, and I have been sort of tuned into the game, the one card that has made a real impact, not that there aren't other good cards in the mini set, but the one that's made a real impact from the mini set so far has been this card.
Funnel cake.
It has enabled, I'm going to say, a quote unquote new deck. It has shored up two old
right
decks.
Here in the kitchen. Oh, look, it's head chef refreshment vendor. What's on the menu tonight, chef vendor?
Funnel cake. Funnel cake. Funnel cake. Funnel cake. Funnel cake. Funnel cake. Funnel cake.
Anyway, on.
Sorry.
Anyway, I'm funnel cake.
And so if you've been watching like a Corbett or a Meowth stream, you've been watching them just sort of try to have fun and do fun stuff.
I thought it. I just had slightly more self-control.
Stop.
Only a tiny bit.
No.
No restraint.
Funnel cake.
I'm going to pretend that didn't happen. Anyway, so if you've been watching a Meowth or a Corb stream kind of to keep tabs on what the top meta is doing, people are experimenting with this in Tony Druid. So drop your Auctioneer, you're having your Auctioneer turn, you're starting to run out of mana. At some point, you cast Living Roots and you make two little 1/1 dudes. You slap Funnel Cake right in the middle of the 1/1 sapling, and now you've got 3 mana, and you continue to pop off. And so it's another way to print mana inside of Tony Druid.
Wow.
That deck still loses to, and it's, again, how it wins is you draw out your whole deck, you swap decks using Tony, King of Piracy, and then you, through either Due Process, like a one cast copy of Due Process, or Naturalize, Solar Naturalize, you mill your opponent to death. And it's not all that interactive. It's not all that fun to lose to.
Okay.
It can pop off as early as turn 4, I've seen, which is risky, but you can do it. I wouldn't suggest it, but you can do it. It can pop off more regularly around 5, 6, 7. It's right on the border of being one of those disgusting combos. The good news is it loses to disruption, right? And it loses to getting hit in the face too hard. So if you're playing an aggro deck, you can usually aggro them down before they can do that. And if you run Lotheb and drop it on curve, that usually ends things. So who knows if it's really something that ends up getting touched, but that's one deck that this is enabling right now.
This,
another deck that
is a dual class card, and
yes,
Priest
it is.
Is the other class.
So in Priest, we've got sort of like the old guard, and then we've got sort of the flashy new fun thing that it does. The
funnel cake thing.
Unlucky. I just keep walking into it. I'm going to continue walking into it. I'm going to steadfastly march forwards.
It's all good. This funnel is, cake.
I will steadfastly march forwards. I'll do the old archetype first. Do you guys remember Light Glare? Do you remember when Switcheroo was a thing and people were playing Grave Horrors and Arcane Giants and they were drawing a bunch of cards and they were playing a bunch of spells and all of a sudden they'd start dropping humongous dudes? Well, now that we've got Clergy as a draw engine and we still have Radiant Elemental as a 2-mana Sorc, we can basically play, you know, whatever spell we want in our deck, keep overhealing Clergy, draw a bunch of cards, draw those giant Grave Horrors, you know, draw the Arcane Giants, drop them down, and a big part of that deck is Funnel Cake, because Funnel Cake lets you basically reload. Not only do you get the overheal effect, which will draw a card off of Clergy, but you also print mana, and so you can continue to get more spells and find more fuel and draw through your deck. That's what I used it today, for today. I was playing around with Miracle Priest in that way. The really sort of flashy, sexy, brand new deck that this is being used in is a similar shell where it's also Radiant Elemental. It's also Clergy. It's also the overheal draw engine. And remember when we highlighted Clergy before, as this is a card that may get banned in Wild in the next 8 months or so because of like the disgusting sort of draw engine that it can become. You use that draw engine, but you draw through your entire deck. And I'm not 100% on the combo because I haven't played it a lot myself. It's a very APM intensive deck that essentially you boil down to, you have 2 Mind Blasts, you have a Shadow Visions, and you have a Fizzle. Kinder Root? Fizzle, no, not Fizzle Kinder. What is it? Fizzle Photographer? Photographer Fizzle. You cast Photographer Fizzle, Snapshot gets into your deck. You draw the snapshot with Shadow Visions, you can cast your Mind Blasts, pop, 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 and you get a copy of your hand back into your deck. You go infinite, essentially, and you can continue to cast Mind Blast after Mind Blast after Mind Blast. And there's a crazy tweet that Glora Magic, who is a guy who, again, tracks Chinese decks and Chinese players, who first highlighted this, where essentially it was like a turn 4, turn 5 lethal, and the dude cast, what, 5, 6, 7 Mind Blasts in a turn?
Oh, gross. So the one I've seen, it's 34 of them, because the opponent has played the Ice Block, the...
Solid Alibi?
That's the one, Solid Alibi.
Ew, what? And they got through it anyways?
And they got through it anyways.
Wow. Okay.
That explains the there's no way you could do this without animation cheating, right? Ha 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 ha.
That person did. I saw all the animations, they still got through it all.
Oh wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a little bit suspect.
Wait, here, I'll pull up the video. Hold on.
Please do. Yeah, show it.
Sorry, it's playing music too. So give me 2 seconds. I just need to do a
Mississippi to Mississippi.
But anyway, while Nate's sort of doing that, this is what's a little bit scary about this deck is it's on that sort of border of okay, it's APM intensive, but not only is it APM intensive, it's on that border of okay, are the animations now like game changing? And if you cheat the animations, is it going to change the game experience? And this is kind of like something that the devs keep having to tangle with. All right, Nate, go ahead. You want to roll the videotape?
Yeah, I think it's
for our,
yeah, all right, here we go.
For people who are in chat
and or watching on YouTube.
The
who's drawn their final card.
Oh, wow. Sorry, that's a lot of loud music.
And then their photographer, Fizzling, with just two mind glasses and shadow visions in their hand.
That is some incredible APM.
So now the only thing in their deck is the porch that
the
photographer Fizzle took.
Oh, wow.
And since they have double Radiant Elemental on board, they're doing all this for free.
That was nuts.
Was it? Is it done? Is it still going? Oh, it still has time, but...
Anyway, you get the idea. It's just a continuation of the pew-pew.
There we go.
Forever and ever. Pew-pew-pew-pew. Pew-pew-pew-pew-pew.
They're not even looking at their hand. They're just playing everything because all of the cards that they're playing are combo.
Now they're roping. So they're just
They haven't even attacked with their minions.
So they do at the very end for the final piece of damage. They get through 34 of these though. So,
that's ridiculous.
So the opponent is a mage with that Salad Alibi up with Renathal. They have 35 health. However, this person plays 34 Mind Blasts this way and then does the final bit of damage with one of those Radiant Elementals on board.
Poke!
Pretty much.
And so this isn't a good deck. It folds pretty hard to any kind of disruption. Lotheb, Cult Neophytes, the Stereo Stomper, the new mini Lotheb, Rats, Objection, Runes. Like, there's all kinds of ways you can interfere with it. Losing to it still sucks, and it's very flashy, and it's very scary, and it's very spooky, and it got a lot more consistent to the point where this is a quote-unquote playable deck. Like, people will play. Like, it's good. This is good enough that this is not, like, a Mark makes combo. Like, somebody will play this unironically, and somebody will probably hit Legend with this unironically. And it's just sort of, like... Again, kind of bringing up the issue we had with Spell Ignite Mage, right? Where you had animation cheating that possibly alters the experience and how and inflates how good a deck could be. And this could be one of those decks where if you don't have to wait for the animations on any of the draws and stuff, and you can like cut those down on clergy, you can combo very, very fast with this deck. And it is scary. It is scary.
Yeah, I can see that. One damage at a time, it was still done.
Yeah, and again, those were Mind Blasts, right? So those were five a pop normally. Yeah. So,
that was like God tier APM, but like that's not the normal case, right? Because you don't need that many.
Right.
Crazy. Wow, okay.
And again, he was at the end of his deck, right? Like he was basically set up.
Yes.
Yeah.
When his turn began. So he had his entire turn. Well,
and if you look at the very, very end of the video when they win, it's like platinum somewhere, right? It's not like anywhere close to Legends. So how many games did it take to set up that?
Probably I'd be interested more to see how many stars did he gain when he hit platinum.
I don't know. I closed it already. But that was, I mean, it was incredible. I'm not trying to diminish it. It was very scary, actually. And yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think this has been the main impact of the mini set so far. There have been good cards, like the 5-mana draw 5. I know was a card that we highlighted last week as being like this is like possibly an aggro top end forever.
Is it good?
Yeah, it seems fine. Like, but I've heard nothing but good things about it. And like I think Meowth was trying it in Beast Druid, not Beast Druid, Beast Hunter, which I thought was interesting. Because it not being a beast, but it's still like a ton of reload. I think that you've always tried in the mech decks and whatnot. There's some other decks you'd try it too, but like that card looked good. The Secret Mage,
Alb
one drop looks good.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
Alb hit day one legend like he normally does, but
always. Yeah,
but mech paladin. Yeah,
did he have it in the mech paladin or no?
I'm pulling it up right now.
I'd be interested because like that would be
yes.
It's not
no.
I wouldn't blame you for not running it just because like you want radar detector
yeah.
to pick up a mech. But at the same time, that's also kind of a perfect deck for it.
I can't, it's not in English, so it's like it took me a second, but no, it's not
yeah.
in there.
but yeah, no, this is a card where like this isn't going to go away. I was even thinking like Sheep, would you ever if the deck changed a little bit and let's say you had access to more draw, would you ever run this in aggro druid?
So I don't think so, because as it is, I'm not typically hurting for mana. However, the deck that you were mentioning earlier today may very well be one that we run this in, you know, like we already are playing things like the otters, Flipper Friends, right? Like we're playing Flipper Friends and Floop's Glorious Gloop anyway. Like,
oh, right.
And get an additional 3 mana for one seems fine. You know, we've got plenty of kind of versatile ways to do like sort of pop off things there. That's kind of where I was thinking that this would find a home.
Spreading Plague and then this would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Spreading, like you Spreading Plague on 7, you have 1 mana left over, then you get 3. You can sneak in a Howl too, or like Solar and then a 1 drop. Or yeah, that's interesting. Because I was thinking Aggro Druid possibly, because you could do something cute, maybe too cute by half, but you could do like on 5, Living Roots, Funnel Cake, Arbor Up. And now you have
Funnel Cake
twice as wide a board. But again, that's like
where I was kind of thinking cute. About this, which is similar to what you're saying, is in standard, basically running like a token druid,
yeah.
with Flipper Friends itself, because you can Flipper Friends, which is a nature spell, Funnel Cake, and then Herald of Nature, since Flipper Friends is a
yeah.
is a nature spell.
I think anytime you say Funnel Cake, you have to do the voice. You can't just
you can Flipper Friends Funnel Cakes and then Herald of Nature.
But like there's this could have a, like a lot of utility. I could see this being very flexible and having a lot of utility. I could see it getting nerfed.
Yeah.
Maybe getting banned. I think they would probably honestly, I think I would hope that they would touch clergy before they touch this. I don't know what they were thinking when they made clergy. But this is because I don't think priest is supposed to have the most draw. But I think of the mini set so far, this is far and away the standout card. There have been good cards. Mm-hmm. This is the straw that's stirring the drink right now.
And how?
Well, I'm glad some of the cards are seeing play. Like, to be honest, stuff comes out sometimes it never even hits wild, right? Such a small set could
yeah.
have no impact, but it's cool to see.
They're just weird. Like a lot of the cards are just weird. Like people are trying them. Like I tried the Backstage Bouncers and even Shaman, and it was like I thought they sucked, but then every game that I played them, I won. And some of the games, they were it was a long, protracted fight, and their pressure was relevant. But they never, like, struck me as, like, being, like, yep, this is a good card. Like, it just was, like, this could be something different, but, like, I guess it's all right. And I think that, like, that's, a lot of the cards. Like, the totem that Prince Silverhand recruits. Like, it's got 4 health, great. Like, that lives for me to buff it and make more of it, but it's like spamming Silverhand recruits. Like, what are you doing, dude?
So
it's goofy.
This morning, I was watching the Housewife play Totem Shaman in Standard, and that was playing both the Silverhand recruit card that you're talking about, as well as the Backstage Bouncer. And so you play Anchor Totem, you play the one that prints out the Silverhand recruits. Oh, look at that. They're all 1 mana, so they all get the buff from the Anchor Totem. And then, of course, like if you're top decking and you top deck the Backstage Bouncer, you can hero power and then you have 2 4/5s with taunt. That's also good.
Yeah.
I feel like in our format, which the Housewife does also play, she just wasn't playing this morning, we have enough things that are like powerful enough to where I don't think that Backstage Bouncer makes the cut in Even Shaman. But I mean, Shmoopy, like you were saying, you were playing it in that deck and you were winning with it, so it has potential.
So it's like there's so many slots in Even Shaman that are kind of up for, they're not locked down that yeah. like you slot it in, it's fine, right? Like, I was slotting an Astalor and ETC in my Even Shaman. It was fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's probably fine. And a lot of the cards are like that. They're fine. Like, I actually liked the new Elite Tauren Chieftain. I think that card's kind of going to be a little sneaky in the right list.
What are you running inside your ETC currently?
Where?
In Even Shaman.
Oh, I cut it. But if I were to run it, I'd probably run Brucon, Lotheb, and possibly the 5-mana draw 5.
Mm.
Like, I think it'd be a little bit, like, and I know there's no immediate option in there, which you would normally want, like a Storm's Wrath or something like that, to buff the board to go for lethal right then and there. But I think if you're casting ETC, that's kind of off the table. Lotheb's more your finisher, as far as, like, locking stuff out.
The list that I keep seeing, like, on Hearthstone, like, top decks and stuff, seems to be standard that people are running Lotheb, Bloodlust, and Lightning Storm.
Yeah, the Tempo Storm is Lotheb, other 5-mana card that you said, Bloodlust, that one.
Bloodlust, yeah.
And then Devolve, because that one doesn't just run Devolve in, like, the main 30, which I feel like is incorrect.
Yeah, I run just the Devolve straight
up.
That was
the cat meow. I think that's probably the cat meows list.
Probably.
She had the reason why she has Devolve in her ETC is she wants to run Devolve, but she kept facing Reno Priests. They kept stealing her Devolve and then devolving her board. So in a fit of paranoia, she put it in her ETC.
that context makes sense.
And so, you know, she's very good at the game. And Even Shaman's very good. You can do weird stuff like that and get away with it because it's Even Shaman, right? Like, there's a reason I went 18-4 with it to get to Diamond 5. Like, yeah. It's still a solid aggro deck. I saw Meowth was only running one copy of Devolve and was running two Crackles and before the mini set dropped. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think there's. You could, again, the mini set cards you can kind of slop in. I was thinking of, like, maybe I was going to cut the backstage bouncers, and if I kept playing Even Shaman, I was going to slot in the speaker stompers or whatever they're called. And that way, because I'm also running neophytes in my list currently, I just have all the spell hate. Just hate on spells. Just really try to lock up the questline druids as much as possible and not let them play cards. Lock up all the combo decks, not let them play cards. I have tradable on the 4/4s, so, like, it's like pseudo card draw. Great, sounds fine. Yeah, I don't know, but this card is, again, if we're just keeping it to this set and its impact, this is the card that's probably making the most impact. Everything else is, like, okay, fun and weird, or just, like, strange, and, like, there are synergies, but, like, it's just they're strange. And we're still learning them and figuring them out. I don't know if this will end up being the most busted card from the mini set, but currently this is what's going on.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of time for people to, you know, everyone wants to try the new thing. And then when you see the broken crazy combo on social media, it's like, oh, I want to try that. And it'll take a couple days for it to, like, fizzle out or whatever. And people will experiment with stuff. It's just going to take a little while. Fizzle,
you're right.
Honk.
Yeah, the new hotness is always a thing. It definitely shows. That's social media. Go online.
Back in my day.
Yeah. I always think about how I'd
have to, like, write a letter about it.
I just think it's so funny that I didn't know the longest time that there was deck lists online.
Back in my day, we had our deck tracker. It was called pen paper.
It was, and my wife made fun of me because she called them my nerd notes.
I used to save all the deck lists, and then you'd have to input them all by card, you know,
card by card by card.
Wow, you young whippersnappers don't know how good you have it.
Oh, when I saw when Innkeeper came out, like on Hearthpwn, like,
oh, I remember that.
That was life changing.
And now Innkeeper isn't even supported anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. No, it's gone.
No, because the other ones were better.
Innkeeper, I hardly. That's a joke. That's probably a joke most people don't get.
My brother says that all the time. All the time.
Liquor.
I hardly. Really? Yeah.
Oh god.
Bunch of old dads here.
You're getting silly. We're getting silly.
Speaking of dads and those of us old of age and with wisdom, I think that one of us is seeking some
and
wisdom.
And now, unrelated advice.
With Shmoopy Daddy.
With
So, this one's been bugging me for a while. Okay. I've been trying for a very long time, and I cannot quite perfect it. So, Shmoopy Daddy, I want to know how I can make the perfect funnel cake!
Well, I'm not a great baker, but I will say you probably want to make sure that you're using, number one, the correct oil, because not every oil has the same smoke point. For example, I very stupidly tried to fry something in olive oil when I should have used vegetable oil. Vegetable oil reaches its smoke point at a much lower temperature, whereas olive oil, you have to keep cranking it up. So make sure, number one, you are using the correct olive oil for your dough frying. Number two, use the correct dough. Not all dough is created equal. Not all grain is equal. So make sure that you find a dough that is that works for you.
Some and grain number is three, plagued.
What's up? Some grain you're right. Plagued. If you're making your funnel cakes out of plagued grain, make sure that you know where your nearest bludgeoning instruments are to take care of your loved ones when they turn. And number three, have powdered sugar in the house. I feel like not everybody has like powdered sugar just sort of lying around, but if you're gonna have funnel cakes gonna have powdered sugar, what are you doing with your life? Like, how down bad are you that you're gonna have just a plain funnel cake without finishing the funnel cake? Gosh darn it. that's my advice as far as
there you go. Well, yeah. Wiser words. Please contribute. Yes.
Yeah. To yes, and there are some fixins you can put on the funnel cake.
Oh yeah.
The pictured funnel cake and the titular card funnel cake includes strawberries and whipped cream. Anything that would be appropriate on like a Belgian waffle, maraschino cherries,
ooh,
whipped cream, blueberries, like in any sort of like syrup that you might find at IHOP. Those are also worthy inclusions.
But sir, are you suggesting that ice cream can go on a funnel cake?
Yes.
Why not? I'm
very much insinuating that.
Oh, that sounds like, what about those little like mandarin orange slices that come in the can?
No.
That's such a hard no. I'm terrified.
No, I don't have a strong feeling about that one way or the other. That was just a comedic effect.
There's going to be rioting in the YouTube comments about our choice of funnel cake toppings. Honestly, I feel like if you're throwing toppings on top of it, like
chocolate
the consequences
syrup.
Of the Industrial Revolution are just dire. Right. Like weird, like this. Why not just have the funnel cake with sugar? Like, why do we gotta complicate things, sheep? I don't.
Well, the Hearthstone card said so.
Also, we don't have to, but we can. Science has come to the point where we can just add whatever we want. And as long as it tastes good, I say live your best life, Shmoopy Daddy. Live your best life.
Has science gone too far?
We don't have replicators, so we can just try them all in.
We have the know-how and the elbow grease. We can do it.
I feel like we're staring into the void, and the void is staring back. Sheep, I'm scared if we're putting toppings on funnel cakes that aren't powdered sugar. That's just me.
You have to do powdered sugar. You have to do powdered sugar. You have to have the funnel cake.
Okay.
That's the vanilla funnel cake. There's nothing wrong with vanilla. It's a classic for a reason, right? This is the additions, the toppings are just the yes and. That's the like turning up to 11.
There you go. Wiser words were never spoken, and you heard that on Born to Be.
Funnel cake! Funnel cake! Funnel cake! Funnel cake! Funnel cake! Funnel cake!
Anyway.
Born to Be.
Wild. Wild.